Happy holidays from The Late Set. I'm Nate Chenin.
And I'm Josh Jackson.
And we have a little something from the vault here today. We thought it would be fun to revisit a conversation that was featured on this podcast with the wonderful singers Gregory Porter and Samara Joy. This is from the era when The Late Set was co-hosted by myself and Greg Bryant. We did this interview with both artists over Zoom. And at the time, you know, both of them had new holiday albums out. Gregory's album was called Christmas Wish on Blue Note Records, and Samara had an album called A Joyful Holiday on Verve. Since then, A Joyful Holiday actually won the Grammy Award for Best Jazz Vocal Album, which I have to look this up, but I feel like maybe that's the first time that award has gone to a Christmas record. you know, both of these albums are really, clearly a lot of care was put into them. You know, they're not like just tossed off. And Josh, you and I also were in the room together on one of Samara's holiday special performances a couple of years ago.
Yeah, at Ardmore Hall, Ardmore Music Hall. And it was the last time that we were probably ever going to see her in a space that small.
I don't know. She actually recently played a gig on the Lower East Side at this bar Close Up, which seats about 50 people. So,
oh, wow.
Samara's still, she's got a little bit of that, you know,
she likes
I want to keep it real energy. And that's in this interview,
yeah.
Actually. So this was a really cool conversation. We did talk a little bit about the experience of seeing her with her family singing those Christmas songs. But it was also, you know, this conversation took place at a time when Samara was very much in the midst of the glow up from her Best New Artist win at the Grammys. She was, you know, there was just a very strong tailwind, you know, for her career. And the thing that I really cherished from this conversation was a moment when I think Greg came up with the idea of asking Gregory whether he had any advice for Samara, having been out there doing this and, you know, having received a certain amount of notoriety and even celebrity, right? And I don't want to spoil it, but what Gregory said to Samara was so insightful and so beautiful. And I've since talked with Samara about it, and she was like, yeah, I definitely took that to heart. Like, it was very, she's like, I really, really needed to hear that at that moment. So that's a thing that you can look forward to in this conversation. But also we just talk about what the holidays mean to each of them, the importance of family, the importance of coming together, and also faith, right? They're both very, very strong in their Christian faith. This is a time of year when, you know, that becomes very meaningful in their song selection. And obviously it's right at the center of a Christmas album. So we hope that you enjoy this conversation.
I'll keep you warm in December. Warm when...
Samara, it's so awesome to see you and have you. Brother Gregory, it's awesome to see you and have you. Thank you both for making time out of your touring schedules.
Who's that girl down at the bottom? What's her name?
My name is Peaches. No, I'm kidding.
There we go.
That's exactly what I was looking for.
Yes.
Hey.
Both of these luminaries have new projects. Christmas Wish for Mr. Gregory Porter, and Miss Samara Joy has Christmas Joy just out as well. And we're excited to have both of you today. A little virtual toast here.
Gregory, you're in Paris, and Samara, you're in Madrid. First of all, congratulations on these releases, and thank you for bringing this music to us, to the world. Before we go anywhere else, I want to talk about the fact that you are actually on a track together. This wonderful version of What Are You Doing New Year's Eve from Gregory's album. And let's hear a moment of that track right now.
But in case I stand one little chance,
Here comes the jackpot question in advance. What are you doing New Year's Eve?
What are you doing New Year's Eve? From our guests of the late set. Both of them are here, Samara Joy and Gregory Porter. Gregory, I know this was your album and your idea, but what went into picking this very song for you and Samara to come together on?
The song has kind of this, it feels like it's kind of New York, soulful, grown sophistication, right? And, you know, that's what Samara has in her voice. It just says that. It's there by both training and nature. And so when I had the idea to do that song, it was, I didn't have anybody else in my mind. If she said no, I would have made her do it by some way. Like grandmother used to say, by hook or crook. No, but she's great. And so just to have her put her artistry on the song was really something special, along with the orchestrations and the guys. It's for me, it's one of the best tracks on the record. So she's, you know, it's wonderful.
Such a beautiful spirit on that. And Samara, I wanted to ask you, like, what was that like to get that invitation from Gregory? You know, what were your thoughts when you were like, oh, I'm singing this song with him? Okay.
I was like, shit, I was waiting for a call. You know, people have been saying it, you know. And what's so wonderful is that I had my first opportunity to open really for any artist. You know, that was my first time opening for an artist was with Gregory. And it was at King's Theater in Brooklyn for the annual Valentine's Day show. And people to this day still come up to me saying, oh my gosh, I remember that little 25-minute 30 set you did, you know, at the King's Theater in Brooklyn, you know. And it just, so I'm very glad that our paths crossed then. And I think it's a natural progression for us to have, happened. You know, to have us collaborate and have that soulful vibe joined together on this particular track. And I already love that song, so it was meant to be.
Gregory, I want to ask you about another selection on your record, but throw this question to both of you, you and Samara. All four of us on this call uniquely come from service and families with ministry backgrounds. So Christmas hits a little different for us when we remember things. And the title track on your album, Christmas Wish, made me think of a lot of things about my background as well. But I want to ask you and Samara, could you tell us maybe a memorable act of service that you guys were a part of? And then conversely, what is maybe the hippest thing someone has done for you during the holidays?
Yeah, I think, you know, the story that I tell in the title track, Christmas Wish, it's not just something for poetry. It's something that we actually did on Christmas Day. My mother cooked turkey, greens, cornbread, and candied yams, sweet potato pie, mashed potatoes. You know, I could go on and on. She filled the table with food. And all eight kids and her, we held hands at the table, prayed over the food, and then loaded it in the van. And we commenced to go around. And kind of in the worst, one of the worst, toughest streets in my hometown was Lakeview Avenue. We went and fed people on Lakeview Avenue. And then we took the leftovers home and we ate the leftovers from the homeless people. And it's a special memory for all of the kids, but really a memory for me that we did that. I mean, it happened more times than just that Christmas. But that first time that it happened was really special. Yes, out of eight kids, there was somebody, you know, protesting. It's like, what? I'm ready to eat now, you know.
Right.
But we had to wait, and then we had to eat after. And now it's a golden memory for me, And it kind of guides my life. I'm kind of thinking that way in my mind. And it was a moment.
Samara?
I can remember the first time I did, I don't know the exact word, but you know, when you go into a hall and you kind of, you cook for homeless people. But I remember the first time I did that, I was in middle school. And it was a part of, with my church at the time, a part of kind of like a church community act of service. And I remember really wanting to be a part of it and really wanting to give. You know, I think my parents had already kind of instilled in us that the holidays are not just about giving and receiving gifts, although it's wonderful to present, you know, a token of appreciation to let people know that you're thinking of them. But it's always better to give of your time to people who may not feel that same love that you feel in your family. Like, even if it's just one day out of the year, getting to feel that sense of being cared for, you know, and being served, maybe even if they feel like they don't deserve it or something like that. It's a beautiful feeling to be able to participate in something like that. So I remember the first time that I participated in something like that, I got to fulfill somebody else's Christmas wish, even with something as simple as food. And I think that the something that has happened to me, conversely, you asked what somebody fulfilling my Christmas wish. I don't know. I feel like Christmas now more and more it's become for me, even though I just turned 24. I feel like more and more it's like it really is about family. I don't take it for granted. I don't take for granted that time. So my mom, she'll get me like the ugliest you know, like a Christmas sweater or like, you know, slippers that she saw online and stuff like that. And she's like, I this is perfect for you. I'm like, yes, it is. You know why? Because you got it for me, you know. So it could be the simplest thing, but my Christmas wishes are already fulfilled when I'm around my family.
This story of a gift that was given to me, I call it my song, but it's actually a song written by my cousin. It was a family song. It's called In Heaven. My cousin that wrote that, I made some changes to the song, but my cousin that initially wrote the song, her name was Darlene Andrews. She died this year. Mm-hmm. And she was blind, completely blind. And she knitted me a sweater. But she would knit based on how she was feeling. And so the left arm was shorter, like way shorter than the right arm. And it went down super long, and the V-neck was, you know, came over to the left side. And I remember the sweater and being so amazed that she did all of this work for me, even though the sleeves didn't fit and the V-neck went off to the side. She couldn't see, but she did all of this work for me. And yeah, think of it. It's just, you know, wow. It's just really something.
Ooh, that is amazing. Man.
Family coming together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really beautiful. You know, obviously I think about family so much when I hear both of these recordings, because Gregory, because of Christmas Wish and, you know, your invocation of your mother. And Samara, in your case, about a year ago, I had the privilege of seeing your holiday show with the McClendons, with your family, and experiencing what that was like. Just all the love and also like the teasing and, you know, everything that goes into that family vibe. And it just feels like the holiday musical expression and the familial warmth and, you know, love. It's all just inextricable in both of your cases.
Yeah. And I'm so excited to go on tour again. After this tour ends, we go right into rehearsals for the holiday tour with my dad, my cousins, my uncle, and a beautiful band.
There's nothing like a family blend, I tell you. That family harmony has some extra step and spirit. Exactly.
Yes, unbelievable. I think, did I hear your grandfather? I was like, what? At 90-something? Or
93. He just turned 93.
Unbelievable how soulful and smooth.
whatever my love thou has taught me.
He had a viral moment. I was like, I called him. I was like, Pop, you got 5 million views on TikTok. He was like, TikTok. What is that? Who the awesome. Who the what? You know? Oh, man.
And then I heard the early recording of him, and I was like, ooh, where can I get that?
I know.
We're talking Philadelphia musical royalty right there.
That's right.
You are both understood in the world as jazz singers, and your musical capacity is, it's bigger than that. You know, you very much are jazz singers, but you're also so many other things, and you bring these elements into your music. But the holiday repertoire, it feels to me like it gives you an opportunity to really go all the way, because these songs, there's such a legacy of like Motown and gospel music. And, you know, I wondered if a project like this actually feels freeing in a way because of that different expectation. Like a jazz singer can sing a Marvin Gaye song or a Stevie Wonder song. And there's like, there's, if there was ever any eyebrow raising, there definitely isn't now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think for me, I take this license because I'm on a mission to kind of not erase genre, but to bring the family of music together. I don't like the fact that a jazz musician or a jazz sound or a jazz lyric or a jazz light or a jazz joy can be separated from a blues lyric or blues. You know, I think these are cousins that grew up in the same house. And so I'm interested in doing all of that music. I'm at home with jazz and in jazz. I'm a jazz singer, but I'm influenced by the cousins of jazz. You understand what I'm saying? For, you know, lack of a better explanation, I think it's fair to say that, yes, because it's a Christmas album, I have license to do a Stevie Wonder song, a Marvin Gaye song, right next to a Nat King Cole song, right next to something that's almost, you know, a song like Silent Night that's nearly biblical script, you know? So, yeah.
I feel that. And I think that when I do decide to sing in a way that's inspired by my other influences outside of jazz, it's not like I have something to prove or like I want to, it's like, yeah, I can do that too. It's like, it's already all a part of me, you know? And so because it's all a part of my musical identity, I don't feel like I have to be like, oh, it's Christmas time. Now I can really go off. It's like, I've been going hard all year, you know? This is just, you know, just another peek inside what my influences are and how they come out and how much more of myself I can be. Even with Christmas repertoire, with jazz repertoire, Christmas repertoire, my own lyrics, you know, each place, it's not like, okay, I got to turn on gospel Samir, I got to turn on R&B, I got to turn on. It's all a part of who I am.
Yeah. You know, both of you have experience singing new songs, original songs, but you both have also brought standards out into the world. And in some cases, to audiences that don't know these songs, you know, like it may be a Frank Lesser song or, you know, a Cole Porter song, but it's new to them, right? It's different when you're singing Christmas music because these are songs that everybody's heard their whole lives from the time they were little, you know. And so I wondered what you make of my, I have this sort of pet theory that Christmas songs are kind of the last standards we have in the sense that everybody knows, you know, when you, everybody knows, you know.
Look out.
As soon as you start into the song, people are like, oh, yeah, you know, and I remember when, you know, Frank Sinatra sang this one, or I remember when, what do you make of that?
Yeah, it's it's actually a thing that can be a bit daunting about jumping into a Christmas record. These are not only standards that are, you know, well used by, you know, vocalists around the world. They're also well used by Grandma and Cousin Willie and Mother Mohassey and, you know, understand what I'm saying? Everybody mm-hmm. been singing this for years. But the interesting thing about that's so cool about a Christmas record is there are people that want to hear these, in a way, Christmas poems, these, in a way, Christmas, modern Christmas scriptures sang by their favorite singer.
Yeah.
And so, yes, that's the beautiful and magical part of it. It's they want to hear your interpretation of something. I mean, this is the original jazz vocalist idea. It's, you know, this song comes out and we all do it. You know, all of the great standards, you know, you pick. All of the masters gave it a shot. So, you know, this is just it. Now, there's an idea of going and finding, you know, the most obscure thing that you can find. But it's also beautiful to sing something that everybody knows and everybody can sing along to. There's magic in that. There's family in that. There's familiarity in that. That's important, too.
When I hear both of you sing, I hear not only fulfillment, but that you're both dreamers. And I guess professionally, artistically, what are you dreaming for? What would you still like to realize musically or artistically?
For me, the two go together. I think ultimately, yes, I'm super happy about great reviews and I really appreciate sellout shows and all this kind of thing. But ultimately, for it not to be work, for me, it's a mission. And so you say a dreamer, yes. I'm optimistic about love. I'm optimistic about fairness and equality and many of the things that are themes in my music. So when I sing them, I'm trying to get a story across. I'm trying to make people feel something. The byproduct of that has been awards and accolades, but I wasn't going for that. So the goal would be to continue to strike to the hearts and light people up and have them feel something in their heart about humanity, about togetherness, about these things that we've been trying to solve since the beginning of time. So here's an opportunity to make a Christmas record. What are you going to do? I love Jingle Bells. I love the super celebratory music that's just sweet. I love that. But if I have the opportunity to talk about the destruction of life, the hope and desire that it may pause at Christmas and New Year's, I'm going to do that. If I have the opportunity to sing about looking outside of yourself at Christmas and giving, maybe trying to help feed somebody, then I'm going to do that. So, yes, it's entertainment, but it's also a little bit of nutrition in that entertainment as well.
I want to jump in before we go to Samara, because something you said, Gregory, I was going to bring this up. It's so powerful to me that your song, Everything's Not Lost, introduces some of the struggle and suffering that we are currently seeing. And it could not be more timely, obviously. And you are confronting us with this, reminding us that this is happening and saying, so here is hope and here is some striving toward peace and urging us to love one another. And it felt really meaningful to me as well that you sequenced the album to go from this song into Someday at Christmas, which is a very similar message from across time. That felt like you were teeing that up in a certain way. Is that right?
That's absolutely true. And there's something about my personality. You know, a therapist may call it being passive aggressive, to where you're like, you're saying something without saying something. You know what I mean? So yes, you got exactly what I'm trying to say. In this moment, in this time, it's almost, I could almost say, yes, I'm encouraging you to think of peace, but I'm also shaming you to peace in a way. That would be the passive aggressive. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know, I've been doing that in my music.
Yeah. Samara, I jumped in, you know, Greg's question about the dreamer. But before we go there, I mean, do you have any thoughts about this idea of this time of year nudging people toward reflection and community in that way as well?
I can't speak for how other people, you know, relate to that idea. For me, it definitely has, because I feel like I'm more aware. Maybe this is a common theme amongst a lot of people, but I feel like I'm more aware of all that's happening in the world than I ever have been before, you know? And
yeah.
It's easy to just kind of fall into the bubble of like, I'm just going to be concerned with me and what's going on with me. The world is not my problem, you know? But yeah, it's like I can't turn away, you know, from, and it makes me feel like, what can I do? How can I educate myself and be more aware of all that's happening? What is my part in it? You know, how can I nudge people towards peace in my own way, you know, without necessarily like, reacting in anger and like lashing out, because maybe I also feel terrible about my lack of, or about my ignorance to it, you know, like it's been happening all this time. Why is like now it's like my eyes have been opened. So yeah, even though I've, you know, seen like many documentaries and like heard stories from my own parents and my own grandparents about the times that they went through and the struggles and the protests and the marches and stuff like that. Now it's like, now that I'm aware, now that my eyes have been opened, how can I contribute? How can I try my best to, I don't know. I don't want to cliche make the world a better place, but just how can I do my part? That's all.
You do. Yeah, you do. You know, just that voice and brilliant.
Yeah.
On stage is like, ooh-wee.
Well, you know, that is something Greg and I were just talking about. The two of you, you know, you have that in common. You have a voice that that delivers so much comfort and light and humanity and welcome. You know what I mean? There's a kind of hospitality that each of you brings. I want to say whatever you're singing. You know, I certainly feel that.
I do too.
And so it's a really wonderful fit this time of year, because these are songs of encouraging sort of love and comfort and togetherness and generosity, you know, and that's a thing that I hear, even if the song itself isn't expressly about that. I get that from the way that you are singing.
Thank you.
You guys are amazing. Just amazing.
You know, I bet Samara's the same. I've said before in interviews is that Christmas exists in the air. In the house, it exists in the air. For me, Samara's record, Nat King Cole, my record will be in the air, coming from the vinyl player. The savory smells of turkey and sweet potatoes will be mixing in the air with that music. And it's a vibe, it's a feeling, and it even smells like family. Mm. It smells like a good vibe and a good time. And to the point where sometimes I put on music and I smell food. I would venture to say, I would love if my music when put on the vinyl player, would induce some smell of sweet potatoes and cinnamon and nutmeg and butter, you know?
I wholeheartedly agree. And I'm getting hungry already.
Yeah.
that makes four of us. That makes four of us. Gregory, I know when you first, you know, burst onto the scene to our consciousness, man, you were on the B.B. King tour schedule, 300 dates a year, man, with, you know, no days off. But I wondered if you had any wisdom, maybe, touring the world so many times, releasing these stellar albums as you have, if you had any tidbit of wisdom or encouragement for Samara, whose last 18 months, I can imagine, and you'll tell us, Samara, have been a whirlwind, but what could you maybe give us any tips for the Gregory Porter Survival Guide?
We had a moment to sit down in the Netherlands recently, kind of just a brief conversation. And they had it scheduled for us to have this long drawn out talk and, you know, video and, you know, and I asked Samara, I said, like, when is your show? She's like, I got a show in like 3 hours. And they wanted to use like 2 hours of that 3 hours. And I was like, no, that's not the way we're going to do this. I said, let's do this little interview as quick as we can. And let's get you to some rest before you have to do your show. You have to preserve yourself. You have to get your rest. And you have to give, but save your energy for what it is that you want to give on stage. You have to protect yourself. My mother used to say to me, guard your heart, for from it come the issues of life. And so you have to guard your heart as you travel through all of these spaces, places, with all these spirits in the air. And you have to guard your body and your voice, your instrument. So not too much cold air, you know, but at the same time, you're driven by this fire and this energy that you have a message. This is not all just about collecting the purse that exists at all the festivals and at all these venues. It's getting the message out. And I'm thankful for the opportunity. I'm glad that Samara has found her soil. I'm glad that I've found my soil in which we can express this music. This is, you know, and I'm so thankful to the history of jazz that allows us to do that, allows a place for this voice that's so classic. I'm pointing at you, Samara. That's rude to point, but that's what I'm doing. A soil that exists where she can go into it and grow. She happens to be a magnificent tree already that's just going to continue to grow. It's amazing, this soil that jazz has cultivated. I'm so thankful for you know, listen, I'm just, you know, I was an older cat when I came onto the scene. I had been doing it for a little while, but, you know, I've got a funny hat. There's a whole bunch of reasons why there's some soil that I won't grow in. But jazz accepted it and it allowed me to grow. And I think I think the fruit of my tree is all right. I think it's pretty sweet. Okay. So, you know, to speak in metaphor and poetry and all of this. Yeah, listen, stop me from talking because I can keep going. but all of that I'm saying is directed at you, Samara. And you're already doing it. But guard your heart, for from it come the issues of life.
Thank you.
I think I just got chills.
Samara, I actually want to give you the last word. As a global traveler now, is there anything that you could pass along to singers or musicians who are, you know, toiling away and they want to find their own soil as well? What have you learned and how would you encourage your fellow musicians?
I feel like I've had to grow up a lot over the past couple of years, going from only having been on a plane once, you know, to being in all of these different spaces and talking about sound and repertoire and band leading. different relationships, you know, with my team, with label and stuff like that. So my advice for any young singers out there who want to build a life of music and of creativity and of continuously exploring their sound and being a student, I would say utilize this time that you have to focus on what you want to do and what you want to try. You know, you have peers around you, play with your peers. You want to go out and see shows in wherever you are in New York and build relationships maybe with your local community so that you can play, whether it's in a coffee shop, whether it's in, you know, a restaurant, you know, use this time very wisely, because whatever opportunity comes your way, whatever big break or small break that leads to a big break, you'll be ready. You'll be prepared rather than waiting for this big opportunity to come, comparing yourself to other people. And you're not focused on your strengths. You're not focused on building up your weaknesses. You're not focused on networking, which would really is just like tapping into the community around you. Because that's really what's going to help you get to whatever success you desire, you know, is the preparation combined with the practice, learning your instrument, being able to, because I'm sorry, I don't want to ramble, but like you can have, you know, as many ideas in the world musically for what you want to do, but if you don't have the preparation, or have the technique, you won't be able to execute them. So you need both. And I think that life in general is about strengthening both of those, strengthening the creative side, fine-tuning your ideas, as well as fine-tuning your instrument and the way that you play and the sound and the different stages of, you know, your sound that you go through. I'm not the same singer I was when I graduated, you know, and so I'm learning how to, it's like I'm a baby just learning to walk or something. It's like, whoa, this range, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm just like, you know, so sometimes it
where
all
did come from?
Where did that come from? You know, so it all comes out at once. But, you know, as you grow, as you learn, as you listen back, as you think on where you are and where you want to be, just I don't know. I have a lot. It's like a lot of different sub messages in there. But the main one that I have is to utilize the time that you have wisely and to build up your foundation.
Man, talk about wisdom. Well, thank you so much, both of you. I have some sense of what your schedules are like. And so I just want you to know that over here at the Late Set, we do not at all take for granted that you made time for us. It means a lot to us. Want to congratulate you both on these Christmas releases. It's going to be getting a lot of airplay in my house.
Mine too.
And I think that's true for a lot of people. And so Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all the best to you.
Safe travels. I hope to see you both soon as well in concert. Be good.
All the best. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye. See you soon, y'all.